Well, God bless you guys. Welcome back to Growing in His Word, man. And let's face it, man, last week was pretty cool. I think the Lord was really working on that sermon. And Jesus was handed over to Pontius Pilate. You know, we talked about the actual the jury that Jesus had in the trial and how he went before the Sanhedrin with you know, all those 70 members. We saw the high priest get upset. He was angry. He was angry at Jesus because Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be God. He claimed to be 100% God and 100% man. He said, I am, I am. He said, I am who you say I am, and I sit at the right hand. That is a radical statement. It's so radical. It's so awesome. It's so loving. It's so, I mean, I can't even describe it. But believers, I want to pray. We talked about last week the importance not to hurt yourself and how Satan lies and he deceives people. He deceives believers. He deceived Judas. Judas hung himself. And, you know, Jesus could have, the most important part, forgave him, but he didn't give Jesus the chance to. The condemnation was so great that that Judas went out and he was remorseful. And he actually brought back the 30 pieces of silver and threw them at the chief priest and said, I don't want it no more, man. I've sinned by betraying the innocent blood. And so we saw that last week, man. And then now we're coming out to, you know, where the fulfillment was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave it for the potter's field, as the Lord directed. They built a field for strangers in the land of Israel. They built a with that land, that money that was used to betray Jesus. And we see how you know, Jesus is now going to face Pilate. And Father, we do come before you. We thank you for this time. We ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, teach this Bible study, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys, man. And, you know, the prophecy, is it's found in Zechariah, where it's prophecy that the land that was used to turn in Jesus was, the prophecy is basically, you know, found in Isaiah. And we see this. We see the proof. But now we're in verse 11 and we're in chapter 27 of Matthew. And now we see Jesus standing before the governor, and the governor is going to ask him, saying, are you the king of Jews? Now, Jesus is just sitting there like calm, you know. And remember, they just beat him, spit on him, you know, beat him up in the Sanhedrin. I mean, there were 70 members, you know. Peter last week was out there betraying, you know, Jesus, and the rooster crowed three times when the second woman asked him that you were with him. I mean, Jesus is like, wow. Jesus is like tripped out, you know. He knows what's going on. He's our Father, he's God, but he knows what has to be done for the world. He knows that he has to die for us sinners. He knows it. And so he's there. He's standing. And they ask him. It's amazing. And they say, they tell Jesus, the governor, are you the king of the Jews? You know, and Pilate's just doing what the Jews want. You know, they're like, he's like, you know, I mean, I gotta deal with these Jews. You know, I gotta do what they want. I mean, I don't want an uproar. I don't want problems. I don't want to bring about a fight here. I just, what do you want, man? I mean, so they're bringing them to him, and they're upset. So the religious leaders brought the high rulers and the high Sadducees, the high priests, bring them to the governor Pilate. And he's going to die for us, man. It's crazy. And he said, Jesus says to him, it is as you say. I mean, what's he going to say, man? Yeah, it's all good, man. Yeah, I'm that guy. I mean, the guy they just spit on and beat up. Yeah. And one of my disciples, you know, he just denied me three times. Yeah, I'm that guy. No, Jesus did it calmly and in love. And that's the deal, man. I mean, we're such blowits. We're sinners. We're wicked. Our hearts are wicked. Before we come to Christ, we're just nasty. And Jesus came to us. I can imagine the people that are staring at him and just, it's crazy. It's the chief priests and elders. They're sitting there and Jesus says, it is as you say, verse 12. And while he was being accused by the priests, the elders, he answered nothing. And so verse 13 goes on to say, then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him, not one word. So that governor marveled greatly. He's just like, what is this? What, Jesus, aren't you going to defend yourself? He's thinking, you know. The greatest thing about that is, believers out there, imagine, you know, that no matter what you do, sometimes it's never good enough. Here God is sending his only begotten son to die for the world. And he has nothing to say because he already knows what's going to happen. He already asked the cup to be passed. He already knows what the consequences are going to be now. It's set in. And Matthew records this incident, you know, very, very good. And so here we see Jesus, we see him not saying anything, but while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he didn't say anything. But then Pilate said to him, you know, basically, you're not saying nothing, not even a word, man. But here's what happened, because he marveled, but while they're marveling, you know, the feast, when the feast came, at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing, you know, to the multitude, one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. This guy was mean, man. He was nasty. Barabbas was crazy, man. He was a psycho murderer. He was notorious because he was a insurrectionist and a murderer. And you can see in Mark chapter 15, but Pilate assumed that the Jews would choose Jesus to be released over a murderer like Barabbas. And Jesus had only gone about doing good. So watch this. The religious leaders, they just wanted to do it quick, man. They just wanted to do it silently, quickly, and put him away. Because they didn't want a big uproar. They didn't want all these, you know, people upset and mad, and because they didn't want a riot. But we're going to see, man. Watch this. You guys, listen to this. This is going to get good. This is the radical point of the whole Bible. Okay? There's a lot of people out there. They'll hand you over to, as a believer, they'll hand you over to the enemy. Not because they like you. It's because they hate you. There's a lot of believers, even in your very own life, you think are believers, who are not believers, and they'll turn on you. They're liars. They're manipulators. And they don't like you because you have Jesus living in you. And they're narcissists, or they're whatever they may be. They can't control you, so they want to get rid of you. They don't like you because you're the do-gooder. It's like going to work and you bring your Bible. And, oh no, here comes the do-gooder again. Clear the cafeteria area. He's got his Bible. I don't want to sit by him. It's the do-gooder. And believers, you have to understand that a lot of people, they don't care because they don't know the Lord. They're lost. They need a Savior. They need Jesus Christ to show them the truth. And this is what he's doing. He's bringing about the truth. His blood on the cross. He's going to show the world that he could die for the world and bring about the radical forgiveness of our sins through getting on our knees and repenting and saying that I'm truly sorry, like Judas. You know, he wept, he threw the silver, but nobody knows where he is. The Bible doesn't say he's in heaven. Nobody knows where Judas is. However, I wouldn't mess with that area. But banking on this, you see, there's so many people out there, and they don't like you because people see the goodness in you. They see the Lord in you, and they want to rob your joy because they're mentally sick in the head, believers. They're not normal. It's jealousy. They want to be number one. They want to be me, 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 me. I don't believe you. They'll never believe you. It's like Jesus said, they don't believe a prophet in his own town. His sisters, his brother didn't even believe him until he died, rose again, and went to go see his brother. So we see how the crowd wants to get rid of him. They're jealous. But this all had to happen. They gather Barnabas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Well, who do you want me to release to you? Barnabas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of enviness. Because it happens today. People are envious. You can't tell anybody nothing anymore. It's sad. Because they'll go around your back and they'll take what your vision is or your dream. They'll steal your joy. They'll steal your vision. Well, come on, man. Not everyone. Oh, well, a lot of people, man. You got to be careful who your friends are. In fact, go through your cell phone today. Go through your phone, your index, your book, your numbers, your contacts, whoever you want to call. And go through every single one of those contacts, man, and say, how many people are... And pretend that you're living in a park, like I did. And go through every contact and say, hey, I'm homeless. Can you help me? See how many people will let your family come move in with you. It's frightening. It's really frightening because, you know, it gets cold. You get hungry and you're like, what did I do? And it's like, you know, it's nothing that you did. And people are like, that's why Jesus said, you always have the poor, you know, love them, you know, I mean, give to the alms. So, I mean, here we see enviness, man. They're enviness. And when they see him in you today, they're envious. They see Jesus Christ living in you today. They're envy. Listen, pastors out there, I know you're listening to the sermon. You got to be careful and slow down. When you see a word called envy, you got to be careful because there's a period after that. Oh, so what? So what? People are envious. All the glory belongs to Jesus. There's no room for us. We suck. We stink. Verse 19 says, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with this, with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. Woo! Prophecy's coming already. So this lady's sitting next to the governor. You know who she is, right? By the way, this, actually, it's all in Isaiah. And so here we see, verse 20, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask of Barnabas and destroy Jesus, the governor, Jesus, because they were envious. They knew, but Jesus said, you know what, man? I got to go to the cross anyways, man. So it's a two for one. I'm going to die anyways for your sins because I love you. I know a lot of you guys are haters. I know you don't trust me because you'd rather trust in your liquor or your sin, whatever it may be, but, you know, I still love you, and listen to this, and here's what they said. Listen, and verse 21 says, the governor answered and said to them, well, which of you two do you want me to release to you? And they all said, Barnabas. They'd rather let a murderer go. That's how sinful we are, our sins. They'd rather let a murderer walk the streets, a psycho murderer, Barnabas, okay, then Jesus Christ go to the cross. And that shows you why Jesus Christ had to die for us on the cross. Because our sins are so wicked, only he can take away that sin of our selfish desires and our enviness and our just our nasty sin that we live with. That's why Matthew says to crucify your flesh, not like that physically, but die to the flesh, die to your own cross, carry it every day. Every day is a new beginning. And so here we go. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They said, "Let him be crucified." I mean, you've seen The Passion of the Christ. A real good movie. I loved every minute of it. I mean, it's done so radical, awesome. And then the governor said, "What evil has he done, man?" He wanted him to crucify, man. What a horrible way to die. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that the tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, and say, "I'm innocent of this blood of this person, this just person. You see to it." Basically, he's saying, "I didn't do it. This guy's a good guy. Jesus is the Messiah. I didn't do it. I don't want no part of it. But you know what? I'm the king. I'm the governor." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And boy was it, and boy has it been. And here still it is. The blood is upon the children. They need Jesus Christ. The crucifixion, the way it was done, it was adopted by Persia. It was considered by the Romans to be the cruelest form of execution. The punishment was reserved for the worst criminals on earth. And the Roman citizens were not crucified. Imagine that. So the victims usually died after 2 or 3 days of agonizing suffering. And they endured thirst and exhaustion. They're exhausted and exposure to the sun. And the victim's arms were nailed to the beams, which was hoisted up and fixed on a post to which the feet of the victim would be nailed. And the body weight was supporting a peg. It was being supported by a peg on the victim sat on there, gasping for air, trying to breathe. It's crazy, man. Verse 25 says, "And all the people answered and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then he released Barnabas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Then, believers, this is when the soldier of the governor took Jesus to the Praetorium, okay, and right there in Jerusalem, right here, and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him. And they put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed on his right hand. And they bowed to the knee before him and they mocked him, saying, "Hail to the King of Jews." They spit on him. They took the reed and they stuck it on him, on his head. And then they had mocked him, and they took the robe off of him and they put his own clothes on him and they led him away to be crucified. You're thinking, wow, man, that's crazy. Now, as they came out, they found a man, Cyrene Simon, probably from Africa. By the name, he was compelled to bear his cross, man. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of the skull, there's a bus stop there right now, they gave him over some sour wine, mingled gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. He spit. Yep, it was nasty. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them. And listen to this, believers. And for my clothing, they casted lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. They put up over his head the accusation written against him. They watched him so nobody would try to take Jesus off the cross. That's what the law was. They put on there Jesus Nazareth, King of Jews. It's in Mark chapter 15, verse 26. It said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the other on the left. And those who passed by, they blasted him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself." Oh my God, were they in a load of, surprise, because those 3 days are coming. "And if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also mock him with the scribes and the elders," the idiots and the 70 ones, you know, the 70 members, thinking it's funny. Watch this, believers. Isn't this rad, man? I mean, you may think this is bad, and a lot of people make it like it's bad. Or, oh, the Jews did it. Blame it on the Jews, man. No, man, it had to happen. If it wasn't the Jews, it would be another race. Any other race God would choose. It doesn't matter. Listen, believers, those who pacified they blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Verse 41 says, you know, and then they're saying, oh, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross now, you see? And verse 41 says, like the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders, saying, oh, he saved others. Himself he can't save now. And if he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross. And we will believe him. Oh, that's a bunch of baloney. He rose from the grave 3 days, and they still didn't believe him. Watch. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, see? See if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing, reviled him with the same thing. How many people today that you see, they're on the streets and you tell them that Jesus loves them and they're mocking him. He's alive. How many people do you see, they mock Jesus Christ today? Oh, I'll be okay. I'm good. And they get in a car accident and they die. You're not good anymore. It's sad. I told my real brother, I said, brother, you know, he told me he had some cancer or something. I said, let me pray for you. He said, no, I don't believe in it. Pray for yourself. God didn't do nothing for me. Nobody's off the hook when it comes to judgment, believers. We're all going to be judged. We're all going to stand before God. He loves us. We might as well serve him now. Just get it over with now. Look, well, I don't know how. Accept him and let the Holy Spirit work in your life and do the rest. If you trust in Jesus Christ and you know that he is really God, he will save you. Listen, believers, well, he didn't come through for me on a deal. Yeah, well, God doesn't make deals. God doesn't make deals with the devil. God doesn't make deals with man. We were born to live and born to die and live again, believers. Jesus Christ is in love with you and he's coming. And if he doesn't come in our lifetime, he'll come in the next when you pass away or when we die. Or our next generation will see him. But I know this for sure. Luke recorded that one of those robbers believed and was promised that he would join Jesus in paradise that very day. And he did. And you know what? Psalm chapter 22 verse 7 predicts the insults that would be directed at the Messiah. Because Christ already knew everything. And verse 45 says, Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Listen, this is important. The duplication of my God indicates Jesus' deep sorrow. And the fact that Jesus spoke in Aramaic, the tongue of his birth, may be another sign of extreme stress. He was encountering man, but no human can understand the theological significance of this cry and its parallels with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And this was not the cry of defeat. However, listen, believers, Christ was quoting from Psalms 22 and may have been alluding to the great victory that the psalm described. And so we see that he knew his time was coming and soon he would be glorified. The loud voice when he cried indicated that Jesus was still fairly strong when he yielded up his spirit. And the cry referred to here is by Matthew was, it's finished. John chapter 19 verse 30, it's finished. This wasn't a cry of an exhaustion, believers. It was a cry of victory. The purpose pure joy for which Jesus came was fulfilled. Redemption for the sins of the world had been accomplished, and Satan's judgment was a fact. And so this verb here, yielded, means dismissed. So even in the day, in the evening, basically, here it is. The Lord demonstrated his royal authority, and he gave it up, bro, for us. It's amazing. Jesus Christ gave it up for us because he loves us. He wants us to spend eternal salvation with us. Don't believe the people who come against you, believers. Don't believe the lies that wannabe Christians tell about you. Don't believe the whisperers and the backbiters. Don't believe them. Don't believe any of them. They're all gonna make fun of you for following Jesus. A lot of people. Those are the ones who need him the most. Some of those who stood there, listen to verse 47, when they heard that saying with Jesus, this man is calling Elijah, you know, the prophet, because Jews, Hebrews, believed that Elijah was, he'd be coming back. But immediately, one of them ran and took the sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on his on the reed and offered to him to drink. And the rest said, let him alone. Let us see Elijah if Elijah will come save him. That's a Judaism. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. In Hebrew, nefesh. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Wow. A lot of Seventh-day Adventists believe that when we die, we're going to have sleep death. That's not true. This was one time on this side, on this here. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and they appeared to many. Jesus did that to show the world that he wasn't playing no games, man. Jesus Christ did that to show all the corrupt Pharisees, all the corrupt Sadducees, that he is alive. Wow. Check this out. Man, I'm excited. I mean, just imagine that. Dead people rising up, man. Imagine that. Just dead people walking around. Look! Family members just like, what happened? And they're just like, dude, I rose, bro. Like, Jesus. Here I am. I mean, that is just so insane. It's so radical. I mean, it's insane, meaning it's so cool. It's so breathtaking to see that we're going to live again, man, forever. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw that the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him were there looking on from afar. And among who were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's son. Father God, we come before you. We thank you for this radical word, Lord. We ask that you bless this time, Lord. We thank you for growing in his word, Jesus. And we love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Listen, what a radical time we had today. Next week, we're going to get into the burial, Jesus' burial in the tomb. We're going to see some radical stuff with Pilate and how he sets guard. We're going to talk about chapter 28, and we're going to see how he has risen. We're going to be excited next week, and oh, what an awesome time it's going to be. I'm pre-recording these sermons because I'm going to be away for a little while. I've taken some time off. I said I would finish the book of Matthew, and I've been preaching for 2 years straight now, never missed a day, and I think it's time for me to take a break, you guys. Growing in his word is going to continue, but I'm going to take my time now and take a break. And may the Lord bless you guys, and God bless you, man. In Jesus' name, amen.